to Minority Corner
with an Eke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues,
only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike.
This week on Minority Corner.
Ooh, 200 episodes.
200 episode. Ooh.
Wild.
Yes.
That's so crazy. I can't even, I'm so happy that we made it to 200. How can you even, wow.
It's like magic that we got here. And some might even say black magic. Ooh, smoke magic. And
okay.
I'm going to tell the story that everybody already knows, but it's perfect because it's Halloween, it's 200, it's black magic. The story of Black Herman.
Wait, who?
Black Herman. You don't know Black Herman?
I don't know who Black Herman is.
Oh, good. Well, I'm sure you're not alone. Buckle up, because I'm going to introduce you to the grandfather of black magic. His crazy up, down, left, right story and journey that is its own masterpiece. Hold on to your butts, because Black Herman about to change your life.
And when you say black, you don't mean evil. You mean
a black
African-American.
Yes, he was up in the Harlem Renaissance doing mixing magic and activism and a little bit of hustling.
I'm intrigued. Oh, man. But before we get into that, we're going to be talking about all sorts of things like Macaulay Culkin and Lizzo.
Lizzo in general. We've got a lot to talk about with Lizzo on the show. All kinds of things. Halloween is here. What's coming up?
Yeah, it's true. Well, I just want everybody to stick around because I have a announcement at the end of the show.
Stick around. Episode 200 is going to start right
now.
Happy 200th episode.
Look at us.
Happy 200.
We did it.
You know, they said it when it last. Fuck that. Here we are, episode 200.
That's nuts.
Like, that's more episode than like years that we'll ever end up seeing, unless we go like old Bible tales. Like, they used to live till they were 800.
Yeah, I know. Like, what, Methuselah or whatever their names are?
Methuselah. Moses was a good 800, 900.
You know, as afraid of death as I am, yeah. I would hate to live that long because that just seems like it gets kind of boring.
But what if it's like you prolonged how you looked and how you felt? Well, there gets to the point, like, I would not want to be like 5 years old for like 50 years.
No,
you know?
But
like, if you were that same sort of, you know, like, I just, my brain process is like, oh, you would just extend the amount of time. And, but I wouldn't want to be like five. Like, five was good for the 1 year. I wouldn't need to like be in that sort of space.
Yeah, but I mean, like, hindsight is like 20/20. Like, I mean, I thought that being in my 20s was pretty tight, but then I turned, like, 33 was a great year, too, you know?
Oh, so then, like, if you could be that 20-year-old age for, like, idea of 20 for, like, 100 years, would you, that seems like it would get maybe old, tired, fast.
Yeah, I mean, I have, knock on wood, granted, yes, I am the slow motion train has started towards 40 for me, but I feel like I still have some new exciting things in the future to come in terms of like me, you know, in terms of like my body and who I am and all of that. Like,
okay.
I don't know. It could be naive. But like when I was 15, I thought I was hot shit. But then I turned 25 and I was like, that was doo-doo. So like...
Yeah, and then you turn, you know, I think, like, I felt like, I remember being in my 20s, and I felt like I knew everything,
right.
I knew who I was, I knew the world, I knew all these things. Then I turned 30, and I was like, oh, I don't know anything.
Exactly.
And that's okay. And I'm like, I don't know who, you know, like, the biggest thing I feel like I've learned is I don't know, and I see these little, shout out to all you 20-year-olds, we love you, but just so you know, you don't know nothing.
I know, just know keep nothing. Waiting, and I'm like, I bet that the people in their 40s are like, shut the fuck up, Neke, things are gonna get interesting. interesting for you, you know? Or they're going to be like, gonna... good luck, enjoy what you got right now. Like, who knows, you know?
No, I think I've seen everybody, the people that I have seen voicing their older opinions, they're just saying it's just getting better and better. And they also realize they know less and less. And I think that's just the gift and the idea. It's like, it's there's the wisdom. You grow into the wisdom of
it.
You
know? I love that.
Like, it's more of a wisdom that happens. It's like, you do know things, but you also know that it's like you didn't know what you thought you knew back then.
Oh my God, it's so true.
But you know what you, I know what you knew that you knew.
What's that?
You know what you, riddle me this, Aneke.
Oh.
Who will not be playing the Riddler? And speaking into existence, Aneke was like last week, I'm not here for no Jonah Hill as Riddler. Literally got off the podcast, or like the podcast launched on Friday, and it was like, he gone.
Yeah, I mean, the movie execs called me. They said, you know what, we really love your insight. You have a clear, concise voice of a generation, if you will. And we're listening to you, and we think Paul Dano is a better choice than Jonah Hill. And I was like, you know what? Thanks for listening.
You're like, I mean, did they get your opinion, or were you able to pitch them me being Kitty Man? Did you pitch them me being Kitty Man?
What?
Did you pitch them me being Kitty Man in the movie?
One more time.
Kitty Man. I want to be Kitty Man.
You are not
in the Batman movie. I want to be Kitty Man. Did you pitch it? You didn't.
I'm sorry. I'm not a team player. I'm not.
God. So it's like Catwoman, but I'm a kitty and I'm a man.
You need a different name for a superhero instead of riding on poor Catwoman's coattails.
I walk you the line between being good and evil.
You are just scooting along on those coattails. You're like, Catwoman, let me grab on those coattails and just glide along with this kitty man. Nonsense.
Sometimes we work together and sometimes we have difference of opinions. Catwoman and Kitty Man.
It's worse. I'm moving on from Kitty Man.
It sounds
man.
Like you are not too excited about my Halloween costume.
Oh, so that's your Halloween costume too? You're going to be Kitty Man? Don't go to schools with that malarkey.
Oh, yeah. Well, essentially what I realized, I was like, oh, shit. Like, gay Halloween is next weekend or this weekend.
You got your underwear together?
There it is. Ding, ding, ding. She knows her case. I was like, oh, no, Halloween. I'm, like, stressing out. I'm like, wait a minute, James. You get to be a lady about it where you just, like, literally get some ears and put on a tail and you're good to go. Like, because I'm going to a dance party. And it's the same word for gays. It's the same thing. You just put some ears on and you're like, I'm a sexy pumpkin. Why does the pumpkin have ears? I don't know.
Oh, stop my God.
Stop looking at my face and start looking at my chest.
I mean, here's the thing. As the resident lady of this podcast, I could count on less than two fingers the times that I've dressed in a sexy outfit. So.
Oh, I don't know. You were in a very one green leotard one year.
Was that sexy? I think not. It smoothed my body over. Unless you think Gumby is sexy. It literally took my curves. It took the outermost point of my boob and the outermost point of my butt and glazed over the rest to a tubular shape. People are like, ooh, I bet you're so sexy in that. I'm like, no, I look like a string bean.
Oh, my God. This whole conversation has got me. So I just binged Getting to My Happy Place. I highly recommend. I think you've already been all over this. Mm-hmm. Did you watch Big Mouth?
I talked about Big Mouth.
Because I remember you did. I had only seen the first episode I saw was when, spoiler alert, the one guy like is fucking his pillow. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
I mean, you got to, you got to lead up to that.
You got to start from the beginning.
Yeah.
The voice acting is amazing. Maya Rudolph, I'm dead. Maya Rudolph as
Maya
the hormone monstress. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's getting to play. Like, you can tell Maya Rudolph is just having the time of her life. Mm-hmm. Like, the way she just says certain lines, I'm dead. And they purposely try to get her to say a lot of words with bees.
Yeah, because she's like,
bubble bear. I'm going to take a little bubble bear. Put the boy over there. Some butterscotch.
I know. I love it.
Bees.
I know.
I'm dead.
Yeah. Big Mouth is great.
I've also found it incredibly nasty. Relatable as an adult as well. Like, because it goes through, like, set, and, like, I think it does, like, what South Park wishes it could do. And it's so much more broader in terms of, like, the conversations that it's having between, like, adolescence and sexuality and, like, just being a human fucking being. And I'm, like, sometimes, like, I hear these different, like, I have these things going on in my head. And it's, like, oh, my God, it's almost like I have my own, like, hormone monster, sad depression kitty. Like, you have, like, it's such, like, you don't. You still kind of have those as you continue to grow up as an adult. Like, a lot of the issues in that cartoon, I'm like, I'm experiencing them now, too.
It's a show for adults. Like, let's get this straight. Totally. It is not for kids.
Please.
It is a show for adults.
Set in middle school. Yeah. Sure, sure, sure.
They cover a lot of nasty-ass things.
That's not for kids
shocking.
At all.
Like, do not watch this with your children. Yeah. But it's like...
Oh, don't... you might need to put your headphones on, because, like, I watch it, and sometimes I'm just like, ooh, I need to, like, with my roommate listening outside the door, I'm like,
yeah, it's gross.
On. It's raunchy as fuck.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew called it that nasty show that I watched.
That you're just like, tee-hee-hee, giggle-giggle about.
I know, but I mean, middle school is nasty, so it kind of covers that, which is like awesome. I love that. I am bummed that they canceled Tuca and Birdie, though, because that one was another great cartoon that was on Netflix, but Big Mouth is excellent as well, too, you know? Like,
voice acting is great. I do have to side-eye that, like, Gina Rodriguez be popping up on the show, and I'm like, she's the resident it girl Latina, I guess.
I mean, you know, Gina Rodriguez needs to learn her lesson, because she's never going to. It just bumps me out.
Yeah,
let's not.
We were
spend
rooting.
Time on
I
her.
Just give her the Tyra speech. We were rooting for you.
We were
all rooting for you.
We love her. Like, all you gotta do is not be a jerk, and we will love you.
What you mean? What you mean? Speaking of don't be a jerk, I have some fucked up Marvel news update for you.
Tell me.
Marvel update. It's fucked up.
Tell me.
I didn't even know this was going on.
Okay.
So Jeremy Renner, I don't have the article pulled up, so I'm just going to do it off of my memory.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know.
So I'm just piecing together the article I read hours
ago. Hard reporting going on.
Hardcore journaling. Journaling?
Yes. Journalistic
I'm doing some
endeavor.
Hardcore audio journaling.
As a librarian, this is terrible, but you know what? Go ahead.
I love that comment. Oh, God. It sounded so honest and hopeful. As a librarian, this is terrible. Okay, so what I remember reading, this is about Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
And maybe you've heard something too. So, Jeremy Renner, like, his wife has, like, filed these, like, claims that he was, you know, tried to kill her.
Oh, my God.
And all this stuff. Yes. Like, really, really terrible stuff.
Yeah.
And so, I guess that is it. But Marvel's looking to possibly, through the rumor mill, I think TMZ had read because they're filing for divorce or whatnot.
Mm.
And TMZ was the only person to be able to read at this point when the article was released. This is gossipy gossip.
Yeah.
And they had read they were the only ones who had been able to read, like, the court transcript at the time or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But really fucked up stuff of, like, drunk and high on cocaine and being
God.
I'm gonna kill us both. Our daughter
would
be better without
God.
You. Yes. And the maid, the nanny has, like, corroborated some of, like, this stuff as well.
Wow.
And so I guess Disney, who is not one to, you do crazy shit, you're gone, okay?
Yeah.
Roseanne Barr, James Gunn. So there are, but remember, they're also in Disney Plus going to be doing a Hawkeye series, but it was going to be focusing on Kate Bishop, who is the young female Hawkeye. So I think the rumor is that they're looking to replace him, or
I'm
they just
fine
will
with that.
Cut him from it completely.
Get him out of here.
Well, also makes me mad, spoiler alert, this is just more proof of why he should have been killed off in Endgame instead of, right?
Nobody gives a fuck about Hawkeye and his stupid haircut, and then he was the one that was like, sure, fine. He like, okay, spoiler alert for Endgame,
Endgame was a long time ago, so you should have seen it.
You can skip ahead if you want, you don't, whatever, Scarlett Johansson is a jerk too. Anyway, so.
Yes, but she's not threatened to kill her wife.
She has not.
With a gun.
She has not.
That
she
we know
just
of. Yeah, you never know. Sometimes
know when to stay in her lane.
This is also true.
Anyways, so when they were like having that soft ass argument about who should sacrifice themselves. He didn't argue yes. very much. He was just like, no, I should go. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. It's so frustrating because also, spoiler, his character murdered a bunch of people because he was upset because his family got taken and, like, you know, criminals didn't. And most of the people he was attacking were like minority yes. criminal people.
So then why did she was holding the whole endeavor together.
She was keeping the Avengers together. She was pointing. She, like, is way more important for the future of the world than him. Like, mm-hmm. he should, like, I don't know why he would want to live, because he's like, my family would come back and I will have known that I murdered a bunch of people who will not come back.
You know what? I'm mad at that.
I read the article. I was like, oh my, I'm sorry for his wife. And then I was like, they should have killed Hawkeye.
But you know what? I was looking on Twitter and, and there's a guy who tweeted, he was like, if they can replace Terrence Howard with Don Cheadle, they could replace Hawkeye with anybody.
Oh my God, yeah. Like, what's that guy from Malcolm in the Middle? Sign him up. What's his name?
I don't know. Put which one? There. There's a lot of guys in Malcolm in the Middle.
The guy who was the guy in the middle.
Oh,
Malcolm.
Freddie Muniz or
Freddie
whatever?
Freddie Prince Jr. Freddie Prince Jr. Even better.
No, but wait. Let's not get off of Freddie Muniz right now, because Freddie Muniz,
oh, yeah.
he had a tweet. Mm-hmm. on Twitter Whoa. Where he okay. like went to go see Lizzo, and he basically was oh. like, hey, dear Lizzo, I love you so much that I will be your purse. You could put a chain on me and I'll carry your stuff. The guy from wow. Malcolm in the Middle tweeted that.
You know, it's so funny that you say that, because I saw a video with Macaulay Culkin dancing with Lizzo on stage.
What?
And Macaulay Culkin and Freddie Muniz are both like child yeah. cute, adorable actors. So that's funny. Because apparently during Lizzo's her concert, she does like a my hands up high, my feet down low, and this is how I jiggle up.
Oh.
And she had Macaulay Culkin come up on stage. And he did a thing, but I just thought it's so funny that
I
both
know.
Of them are in love with Lizzo.
Which is so crazy. I'm going to see Lizzo on next Monday.
What? Mm-hmm. Wait a bit. Sunday? This Sunday?
No, next Monday.
This next Monday?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Oh, you are in for a treat. But there is some Lizzo controversy.
Ooh, tell me about this controversy.
So, in that song, what is it, where she's like, I just did a DNA test and I'm 100% that bitch.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some controversy because apparently there was this girl who, I don't have the article in front of me. She was like.
I mean, I know the story, so I can fact check you.
Oh, okay. Good, good, good. So she was like, that's my line. That's my meme. And Liz was like, that's real cute. That I'm glad that you like wrote that, or something very sort of like at first.
Patronize it.
About it.
Yeah,
it was something like, I've never seen your tweet before, but I'm glad that that exists.
Oh, no. Yeah.
It's almost like she's working on her next song. Like, I'm glad that exists. I'm glad that you tweeted that.
I know.
I've never seen that before.
That's so flippant. Mm-hmm.
But then that girl recently tweeted out, she was like, oh, shit, I have, like, she's credited as a writer on that song. I forget the name of the song.
Yeah,
it's
so
like that
okay,
one that's
here.
Really hot.
This is what happened.
Yeah.
So,
okay,
she said,
you fill in the blanks. So it's a Mad Libs of like, I put the story out there.
And I'll be like, here's the connect the dots. So, you are correct. There was someone tweeted, hey, Lizzo wrote this. And then they started suing Lizzo. And Lizzo was like, whatever. But it turns out that she did, while she was recording the podcast, she saw a meme that was inspired by that tweet, and so she's saying the lyrics of the meme. Okay, so that happened, right? And now all these other controversies are happening, including this one, which actually I kind of want to ask your opinion about.
Yeah, give me.
So, the you know the song, Finally It Has Happened
it
to
has
Me.
Happened to me right in front of me. Mm-hmm. I know she's suing Lizzo too.
That's what I'm trying to ask you about. So, side note, watch that video, look at the woman who's singing it, and then you'll be recently Andrew and I were watching music videos and that came up and we were like, she's doing old lady dances. Wow. People, you know, it's awesome that they let old people sing songs back then. She's 22 in that video. 90s style was not good for young people. Anyways.
Yes. No, 90s style, everybody looked really adult. I remember when I was watching Living Singles, they're supposed to be in their 20s. Those girls looked like they were in their late 30s, 40s. Like, everyone was like trying to be so mature. I think it was like runway Vogue, like everyone's got a job at like Wall Street
down on 23.
Saks Fifth Avenue. Yeah, a lot of blazers, a lot of
blousy shirts. Okay, so in that song, there's a part where she goes, and Lizzo in one of her songs goes, so that woman is now suing her for that.
This reminds me, this is like Vanilla Ice all over again. Dun 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 dun. Yeah, there's somebody else who's also suing Lizzo. The case against Lizzo.
People.
I bet she's like, I wish I never would have fucking stepped into this fucking arena. Somebody else is suing her for another song. They're like, oh, we didn't get any copyright credit. And they've been trying, for like 2 years, they've been suing her
on one of
the
same
popular songs. Maybe, I think it's the same song the other girl had sued her on as well. And it did make me think how hard it is to be in the music industry then too. Especially I mean, Lizzo is, I feel, I don't know her whole, this is what I've pieced together from, I'm now just kind of dipping into the Lizzo pool, but what I pieced together is like someone who kind of really created their own career, like worked hard, wasn't like this manufactured
person. She's been grinding for a while.
Grinding.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's very rare to see these people who are grinding pop out because I feel like it's so hard to get into the music industry now because there's not, you don't have your local radio station. There's not just the four guys snapping on the side of the street trying to like make it work. You've got some creepy man who's probably gonna like, you know, touch the children inappropriately creating a band. I'm talking to Lou Pearlman, right? I'm glad it isn't. I didn't do anything. But yeah, like so I applaud her because I know how hard it is to grind, and of course you're also going to be inspired by the things around you, and it kind of makes me feel like everyone just trying to get a cut. And you know, it's hard enough. She's a black woman.
Yes.
She's, you know, she's not like Little Miss Skinny Minnie. She is proud being her full, wonderful, sexy, voluptuous self.
Right.
So it's like, leave Lizzo alone.
I know, that's what I don't get it. It's like everybody, like, I don't know. Inspiration, the whole, like, yeah, people say like, oh, copyright issues, that's very close. And like, I heard on a radio show, they were talking about how that Finally Lady actually had a case. But a piece of me is like, it's just some noises that you're making from your mouth. Calm down. Yeah. That song came out in 1992. Like, I'm sorry, your career didn't.
It's just some noises that are coming. And there are just some noises. And maybe it's like an homage, but I don't know that you need to get a cut of, like, you know, asking for no 5%. Like,
I know.
It's already hard enough to make money in the music industry as it is. Like, Lizzo's only making her money really from going out on tour. She's not making any money from like the songs. Like, that doesn't, you know?
I know. So. Let the woman tour and get her ducats that way. Like, I don't know.
And in fact, you're going about it wrong. Like, she could have been. I mean, like, and that's the thing too. I'm wondering, like, how are people going to start copywriting like memes and things like that? It's a new era of like copyright. Everyone trying to get their coin.
It's wild.
I'm not mad at it, but you know, we need to calm down. We might not even have a planet in 10 years. So,
I know. It's crazy. Oh, man. Oh, well.
Sidebar, I went down a Rachel Maddow YouTube hole the other day.
Interesting.
And I knew how amazing she was, I went on a YouTube hole. I like the way she breaks down the news in a very sassy detective sort of way. So,
oh yeah, you know, she got that blazer and she is, I mean.
And those glasses and some lashes. She was reading, she was reading something from like the, you know, the crazy stuff that's happening right now with, you know, President Mafia guy.
Right.
And she was reading someone's deposition and her eyes were down for a long time. And I'm like, wow, she has really long top eyelash. They put little baby eyelashes on her, just a little bit. So even Rachel Maddow.
Are you sure the content was interesting? If that's what you're focusing on.
No, I now, ever since I dipped my toe into doing drag years ago, I now pay attention to, like, is it a wig? Mm. Are those her lashes? Mm. That's where my eyes go now.
So, I feel like if you, the secret to everybody's boring nougat center is their YouTube history. Everybody watches something that is specifically interesting to them and insanely boring to everybody else on YouTube. Sure. It's so true. Sure.
I also did a shout out to Maury. We did a music video rabbit hole the other day.
Oh, I love that. Those are always fun.
Where you just queue up, you just pass around your phone, and you just queue up or pass around whatever it is, the computer, whatever device you're listening into, watching it off of.
Yeah, yeah.
They're fancy, so their phone is connected to their TV.
Ooh, excuse. Mm-hmm.
So they just pass around the phone and, like, just put in, queue it up. But of course, the list gets so long that you're like, we're never going to watch all of these music videos. Somebody's always like, oops, the one that I just put in got bumped to the top. You're like, okay, what's happening here?
Who's sneaky? Sneaky town.
But it was so great. But then we were like, God damn it. Why isn't there, like, a music video channel anymore?
There is.
And then it's called YouTube.
Oh, well, there's that. But there's also MTV Classics. And they play, like, blocks of music, and it's even more fun because you won't, like, when you're doing YouTube, you're kind of picking things unless you do, like, autoplay.
Yeah, and so you're not getting any of the surprises. Like, right. What am I missing?
Ooh, if you do some MTV Classics, you will see things where you're like, what? That's how I saw that Final Lee video. We were just putting on YouTube, MTV Classics.
Newer artists and stuff too.
They have like pop, so they'll play like a pop block.
Okay.
So it will be like a newer, but nothing current. Like I would say 10 years and down. But there,
because I feel like the art of music video has kind of died down, because we went on this rabbit hole where it was like everyone and their mom had a music video.
Oh,
even if you were just kind of some humdrum person on the side of the street and you had that one single, you had a music video.
Yep.
The studio shelled out a bunch of money to get your music video together.
Mm-hmm.
And now, for one, it's already hard enough to become an artist. And two, like, just because you have a single doesn't mean it's going to have a video.
I know.
Like, which is so weird, because it's like, I guess there's not the financial gain from it, but it is kind of nice. There was an era where I don't even know if, like, it was financially lucrative to make a music video, but people did it because it was part of the art.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. Like, you release a single, it has a video. It's gonna play.
It has a video.
People want to see it. It's gonna be out there.
Yeah.
And I feel like you and I are part of the same generation.
Oh, I think so. Only 2 years apart.
But I mean, like, obviously. But like, where we are, like, we expect that song to have a video, and it's like surprising when it doesn't.
And it's also too, just I think the way that music is released, that, like, because so many people are doing streaming now, that, like, singles aren't necessarily as important anymore too.
Right.
So it's just a different time. I don't know where we are.
I don't either. Gonna have to get with the program.
I know where we at. Episode 200.
200.
Oh, we're so crazy. Well, Aneke, in honor of We Are Black Magic and of ourselves.
Yes.
And I wanted us to take us, we're going to go back in time.
Ooh.
To one of the originators of Black Magic.
I love this.
We're going to talk about, I almost said musician. Oh. No, magician.
Oh.
Black Herman.
Who?
I already did my smoke bomb. Black Herman.
Oh.
Smoke bomb. Skip her away. You hear my footsteps just running away. And you're just like, who? See you in the next corner.
Hello, my name is Tusk Henderson, and I am an outdoorsman.
Are you looking for a new comedy podcast? This month's episode of Beef and Dairy Network podcast has as its guest the wonderful Nick Offerman, playing the part of Tusk Henderson, adventurer and outdoorsman.
Think about fitting yourself, a month's worth of provisions, and a half-ton cow into a kayak.
So if you've never listened to the show before, this might be a good place to start.
I string a bowstring between her horn tips and I can fire a spear off the top of her head. And took in some very delicious cod.
So, if you're after a new comedy podcast, why not try the Beef and Dairy Network from Maximum Fun? Download it now!
You flip a cow upside down, they make an excellent toboggan.
Black Herman.
Wow.
Magic,
this is...
magic. Black Herman.
I don't even
He's magical.
Know
smoke bomb.
What to do with this. Okay.
I'm so excited because you've never heard of Black
Herman. No, I haven't heard of Black Herman. Okay, tell me about Black Herman. Well, what is this?
He is like, and it's a travesty that y'all have not heard of Black Herman. Okay? So... this is like the originator, I think, in honor, because our show is Black Magic.
Yes.
We're going to bring in the grandfather of Black Magic
wow.
here. So we're going to go back to the early part of the 20th century where people were bored as fuck. Just as we were talking about earlier,
yeah.
like people didn't have like, you know, Netflix or anything.
No.
They just had like whatever. What are you guys doing over here in the corner? So people got bored.
Yeah.
So this is a perfect time for someone like Black Herman to come onto the scene. He was the most famous magician of his time.
Oh, wow.
So he would combine magic with strong separatist and militant political messages.
What?
And yeah. I when I first heard about him, I was like, oh my God, I have to tell Aneke on the podcast. The reactions you're giving me are exactly what I wanted.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So his mission was to promote his view of Black power
Ooh.
By attracting attention and support using stage magic, accompanied with the occult and superstition.
This is wild.
I mean, what could be more exciting than this elegant Black man
yes.
who was set himself in a magical universe performing marvelous stunts and selling shit?
Yes.
So that's the setup. Black Herman.
And selling
role.
Black
and now-
power, too. And what time period was this again?
Yes.
One more time.
Okay. He was born in 1889
oh, man.
In Amherst, Virginia.
Turn of the century. Yeah. Spooky black magic with Black Herman.
Spooky.
But with the... This oh. is great. This is a good... pre-Halloween.
Yes, spooky,
Black man magic. I love hashtag Black
so
man magic.
Exactly, hashtag Black man magic. So he was born Benjamin Rucker.
Oh, his name wasn't even Herman? He picked
okay, we'll
Herman?
Wait, there's a story
okay, okay,
behind.
Okay, okay,
listen,
okay,
every
here,
hero has a story.
I know, I'm listening.
And their what do they call it? Not their who's the person that like trains them? Their
I don't know, their coach
trainer. Their okay. Every hero has a coach. So he was born June 6th, 1889. He had Gemini.
Ooh.
And at 16, so he started his career as an apprentice to a traveling magician and miracle medicine salesman
okay.
named Prince Herman.
Prince who- Herman?
Listen, stage names are nothing new. You got to have a gimmick.
Why
you got to have a gimmick.
Herman? I mean, no offense to our listeners whose name is Herman out there.
Might be Herman, but...
That
yeah.
name is weird.
Well, he was born Alonzo Moore. Which
that's
a very
a way
sort of, like,
better name.
That's a,
Prince Alonzo?
That's a sexy name.
And he's like I'm going to be yeah. Herman.
Prince Herman. Alonzo Moore, that's like a, you know, like a, you know, Idris Elba sort of.
I'm
like,
Alonzo
you know?
Moore. That's a name that you pick. Your name is Herman
that
Schmerman,
is...
and then you pick Alonzo Moore.
Yes, that's exactly it, right? Yeah, so he was, Alonzo Moore was his mentor. There it is, not coach.
Okay, mentor. All right. no coach.
Who eventually took him in as a partner, not a coach, just a magic coach. I like that better. So Prince Herman was his magic coach.
Yes.
And the two made their act, it was a medicine show. So they'd be performing magic tricks to attract customers.
So they're snake oil salesmen.
Okay, wait, calm down. Okay. But no, they were attracting customers for their secret African remedies.
Stop it. African remedies? Okay.
Because they're able to play upon people's just like ignorance about black
obviously,
culture and stuff.
Obviously, yeah. They could say anything and people would be like, if they weren't racist, they would be like, sure, okay.
Okay. You want to know what's in that secret African remedy? It was mostly tonic with alcohol and some common spices.
You know what? That sounds delicious.
I know.
That sounds like a cocktail.
Sign me up. Okay, so every hero's mentor has something tragic happen to him. And his mentor, Prince Herman, died in 1909. Aww. And good old Benny Rucker, as I like to call him.
Yeah, that sounds good.
He, in honor of his passing, he was like, you know what? I'm going to become Black Herman. Because to honor Prince Herman, who died, kind of, I think mostly too, it was like brand recognition.
Yeah, the Herman has to be passed down.
Herman, people already associate Herman with magic, so he's just like, let me just, and I'm celebrating Prince Herman, but also brand recognition.
Time to put on that Herman crown.
Yes, it's his turn to become not Black Panther, but Black Herman. So at 17, he continued the show.
Oh, he's a kid.
He kept it going. He's a kid. And what he did is he steered the show more towards the magic and dropped the whole medicine out because he was like, no.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was actually a very talented magician. Mm. He had fine-tuned his own skills at reading cards, doing fortunes, cooking up healing elixirs.
That sounds like medicine.
Okay, we're veering back towards that. No, but these are healing elixirs, not no medicine hocus pocus.
<What's>
like. Oh, there's a difference. This is more connected to the arts and magic. He was able to actually make his way in around. There was the circuit of traveling faith healers who hustled material goods and spiritual assurances from towns.
This sounds like the same thing. So this
it did sound like he was turning a new leaf and doing something different.
I know. But with magic.
This is why I love this story, because it's like he waffles back and forth between like, oh my God, he's so amazing, to being, oh, womp, womp, okay. They can't all be winners.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
He's a dramedy. He's just a beautiful, inspiring dramedy.
I love this.
So eventually, but unfortunately, like he's going on in that time. Remember, think about this. This is like, you know, Reconstruction.
Yeah, and, shit's weird.
You know, a lot of poverty and racial discrimination pushed Benjamin Rucker out of the South and towards Chicago, where in the late 1910s, he launched an independent career and assumed a new biography when he did fully. And so at this point, he hadn't quite, when he was doing that traveling, like with Traveling with the Healers, he hadn't quite been Black Herman.
Okay.
But after that experience is when he became Black Herman and gave himself like this, you know, new backstory of like, you know, he was straight from Africa and just gave like a very big broad. Yeah, we'll get into it.
You know what? So, I'm into Black Herman.
After Chicago in the 1910s, he was in Harlem, became his home base where I live.
Okay.
So he's in Harlem, and he became the self-proclaimed world's greatest magician.
Self-proclaimed.
Yes. This is in his biography. So
this is good.
He was exposed to and greatly influenced by the philosophies of Marcus Garvey and others who were fighting to improve the lives of Black folks. He actually could be seen. Him and Marcus Garvey became really good friends.
He jumped into that inner circle.
Yes, he was like hanging out with a lot of the people in the Harlem Renaissance.
Nice.
He was in it.
Yes.
Like, he was connected to them.
Go Black Herman.
He could be seen in Marcus Garvey's massive Harlem parades,
really?
Which dope. I didn't know Harlem was having all these parades, and where are they now? Where are they now?
I know. Where are those parades?
Some say he even offered Garvey spiritual counsel.
Okay.
Which I'm not really sure what that
was.
Okay,
I know. What was
like,
he?
And none of the research that I found that they hear anything about him connected to like if he was, I didn't know what his spiritual practices were.
Yeah,
but
like was he like talking to the dead? Was he a magician? Was he giving them special elixirs? Like it sounded like Black Herman did everything.
He was a little bit of
everything.
He was
like, do you need
like,
a massage?
I just think,
do you-,
you need a massage?
A
I got an elixir for that.
Your house?
Yes. I got that. I got this broom. I'm going to make it work. So they were thick as thieves.
Mm.
And through his relationship with Garvey is when he began to incorporate a lot of his political messages into his show.
Oh, okay.
So Marcus Garvey was inspiring him.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. So in the research that I read, and Librarian, you're going to be not. So it looked like a lot of the articles were just kind of referencing each other. And were
yeah, that happens.
Of the other ones read
yeah,
by themselves.
Usually a main one yeah, is written and then they just keep going off of that. Yeah.
Right. And especially when it's someone who's not as like well known as Black
Right.
Herman, which he should be as you read his stories. So
I'm fascinated.
Everyone keeps, I have no idea. Everyone talks about like how he was incorporating political messages into his shows.
Yeah.
No one told me how.
Yeah, like
so
how would he do
that?
Would he be like, would he be like, I don't know, where it's like this dove in a cage is like our people caged in this world. And then we need to break free.
Actually,
like this dove is breaking free from this cage.
You know what? Actually, now that you just said that, it did remind me. I will explain some of his tricks to you. And they actually kind of were like that. You're right.
Okay,
so that's
good.
How he was doing
okay.
it. So he was playing to crowds like in the South and mixed crowds up north, which was really impressive at the time.
Oh, he was playing to mixed crowds.
All Black crowds yeah, up in the North, okay. because in the South, you know, they're...
Yeah,
weren't there ready
nope.
yet for that. Mm-hmm. So it was a highly mixed demographic when it was mixed. So it'd be Blacks and whites, society members, other elites,
oh, wow.
even men and women of working class. So he was a hit amongst everybody, especially up here in the
oh,
North.
Neat.
Yes. And so, yeah, everyone kept mentioning a theme of Black pride emerged from his shows. And I just wrote, how might you ask?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. There's not a lot of, yeah, don't know. But his crowning, one of his crowning achievements was he headlined a show at Marcus Garvey's 4,000-seat Liberty Hall in 1923.
Wow.
Also love that Marcus Garvey had like this giant theater in 1923. Just,
I know, Marcus
like,
Garvey
amazing.
Is a character that I feel like people, not character, but you know, a historical person.
That's because
who
you said that because Black Herman seems like a character.
Yeah, it's true. I don't. But like.
There should do it. They should do a Marcus Garvey show, like, series, and then Black Herman's, like, in the background and gets his own spinoff.
Yeah, I feel like people, like, kind of paint Marcus Garvey as, like, this crazy militant, but if you look at the timing, the things that he was saying was not that militant at all. It's just, like, don't treat Black people bad, you know? And maybe Black
yeah.
people should move back
and
to Africa to get away from this insanity. So, like...
And one of his best friends was a magician.
Okay,
so, I mean... but Herman sold out that venue for a month and
oh,
had
shit.
Like I yeah yeah so he in that previously the had only had rallies like that large for Harlem's favorite race heroes and pan-African radicals so this was something new and I think people were also just appreciative like ooh something different again no Netflix
yeah they-
okay people were bored as fuck bored.
Oh, God.
So he established himself as a pillar in Harlem. Like, everybody was his friends, politicians, preachers,
nice
waitresses, like,
yeah.
everybody.
Okay.
I only say waitresses because when we were at that antiquing show, like, a week or so ago,
yeah.
there was these old-timey, like, alphabets. It was, like, these, like, paintings, these, like, these drawn paintings or something. And they went through, like, all the, like, the letters of the alphabet. And they're all these, like, old-timey 1920s, like, men in like professions and it was like P is for publican and like D is for dog walker and we were going through the entire alphabet
yeah.
S is for sportsman we got to W and it just said W is for waitress and me and my friend just look at each other with the same there's been no women in this entire alphabet
oh my god
all of a sudden, it was just like oh but waitress or they couldn't just go waiter they were like keeping with the theme
Mm-mm.
just have the guys the only one
is a
yeah.
waitress
so
just,
yeah side eye.
I know.
So, anyways.
This antique shop.
He was friends with waiters.
Sound like a mess.
Yes. It was. Don't go antiquing without other POCs. It was like a scene out of Get Out. I didn't think I was going to.
Oh, no.
So, also, many came to his weekly study group.
Oh.
What did they study,
what did they,
you
yeah.
asked? I don't know. I don't know. This was, I don't know.
They didn't.
These articles kept referencing these stuff, and I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. And they would not follow
You know
up,
what it
so.
Is? It's probably just like they got together and they hung out, and like it was a meeting of the minds. Let's say that.
Oh, that makes sense because he was also in different groups. He was a member of the Elk group.
Oh, cool.
He was a Freemason.
Oh, wow.
He was and also a Knight of Pythias.
What the hell?
So he was like in.
He loved a club.
He loved a club and a secret organization that was probably controlling some
yeah.
shit. Like he. Yeah. So according to the Chicago Defender, between 1923 and 1926, he provided full-time employment to 20 people and part-time work for 30.
Oh, shit. Giving money to the black community.
Yes. Doing what?
What?
I don't know.
This article is terrible, James.
It's almost like a magician doesn't reveal his secrets or what a person did. Like, the article is a giant magic trick.
This is wild.
It's just like, but how? What?
Oh, no.
Okay, so this is great because now we're going to get into him as the mogul. Like, he was like a Diddy-like mogul in Harlem. Okay. Because in Harlem's where everything collided for him. He was able to mass market his acts from here because he was, you know, traveling all over the place.
Oh, wow.
And his shows, people loved it because it combines stagecraft, comedy, vaudeville, theater, religious oratory, mind-reading tricks. Like, he just had so much. There's a lot going in his shows.
He's a fucking show man. Greatest showman, my ass. Give me some Black Herman.
Right. Fuck that, you know, other one with P.T. Barnum. Yuck. This is the greatest showman because we don't understand how he did any of this.
I know.
So he also used his success to make loans to local black businessmen and organizations.
Oh, I love this.
He established scholarships.
Yes, give him back.
He performed free to help churches pay their bills. Like, he was a working man.
This guy was like a loaded community man, and I have never heard of him.
I know.
What?
He's amazing. Oh, and it gets crazier. Okay. So he's running all these businesses, employing all these people. We don't know what. Well, I guess they were probably helping him do all these businesses.
Right.
That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
I guess I have to connect the dots myself.
I mean,
this article is like
leading you to that water. It's getting you there.
It's there. So on top of it, like, and he's also performing and traveling while running all these businesses. And he also purchased a printing plant. So he's kind of like the Tyler Perry of his time.
Yeah, he's doing everything.
Tyler Perry just bought that, like, and I, you know what? Snaps to Tyler Perry. I no longer will make any sort of side comments about him because, like, he owned a fucking studio, and, you know, Whoopi Goldberg was saying, like, she's never met like the like a person who owns a studio, and she knows a guy who owns a studio.
I mean,
and it's the largest, and it's the largest studio like ever.
It's fucking
and
amazing.
He's employing. Yeah,
but his movies sometimes suck, and I'm still just gonna say.
But
that.
You know what? If that's what it takes for him to be able to get that kind of money to now, like, now he's just going to be making serious money because he owns the fucking studio.
And
like,
he's uplifted so many
black
like, actors and
totally.
Business people.
Even
it's
though,
so true.
Yep. I mean, he shot Acrimony with Taraji P. Henson in 18 days.
That movie,
and it looks like
it was a terrible movie.
Get what you pay. But you know what? He printed money, and I'll be working on one of his sets one day, so I am mad. Black Herman also established a monthly magazine.
What's this?
He founded Black Herman's mail order course of graduated lessons in the art of magic.
The longest title ever.
Sign me up. He acquired real estate. He bought shares in 2 cotton plantations. He gave
shit, I love that.
Right? Let's take this back. He's like, let me make some money into this back. And remember also, he's like giving back to the community. He gave personal consultations. He started herb and cotton root. He started herb and root gardens in 12 cities.
Wow.
Became very wealthy, obviously, and purchased a brownstone here in Harlem on West 119th Street.
What?
Just 9 blocks away from me.
Wow. Black Herman's amazing.
Yes. I mean, ridiculous, but amazing.
Yes.
Yes. And also he had set up a shop as an authorized seller of, like we said, his mail order courses, Lucky Numbers, and health tonics until he was arrested in 1925 and sent to Sing Sing.
Why?
On a charge of fraud. So, I mean, this is Black Herman. Just when you're like going up, there's just that. Dun, 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 dun,
why was he? Okay, so fraud. So he was doing some.
Okay. Yeah, there's another thing. Okay, so his show. Let's talk about his show. What was going on in
the
show?
Yeah, what was happening in the show?
He was a master of conventional magic techniques.
Okay. Was he like a Houdini?
But he also drew from... Yes. Yeah. Okay. He could do anything that the others were doing, but he also drew from like black vernacular traditions. So when he was creating his story, he claimed to have been born in the dark jungles of Africa.
Okay. Come on.
It also was not the first person of African descent to utilize this idea.
Yeah, back then, everybody was.
Because it would, people be like, oh, I don't know. Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, they let the Venus Hottentot, like they were chouting her around. So people were stupid. Yeah. But he was able to combine a mix of passed down ancient African techniques and practices with modern black. Well, some, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm
we
imagining
don't know.
Black Herman.
We don't know.
I think that he probably did, but he also would embellish a bit. But I think like that's the thing that was so, but people really liked is that he created like this world that mixed African techniques and practices, quote unquote, modern black spirituality, hoodoo, and just all the like. So he just was mixing everything.
Okay.
People like loved it.
Go ahead,
it was
Black Herman.
You know what? It also gave people just like hope because it was like, this world is fucked up. But he's like, but we can escape with our minds.
You know what? I like this. I'm not mad at this.
Yeah.
You go, Black Herman.
He also had... he also perfected the Azara levitation.
What the hell is that?
I don't know what that is, but he perfected it. He could produce rabbits.
Oh, he did some rabbit magic. Okay, rabbit work.
He did some rabbit magic. He also made the amount of cornmeal in a bowl double.
That is basic.
It was noteworthy in all three of the articles.
that is so weird that all had, these articles...
Yeah, God. I feel like Black Herman wrote these articles himself from the grave.
He was like, so that was a good trick.
That was a good trick. That cornmeal got him every time.
He just added water.
Double.
He added water and it expanded.
Oh my God, you're right. That's what he did. It's growing before my eyes. Okay. He was a smart scientist. He knew how science worked. So he also claimed it was secrets taught by Zulu witch doctors, which nobody could question because they didn't know any Zulu witch doctors.
That's true.
They're like, okay.
Yeah. Google didn't exist back then.
There was no Joodle for them to be able to look it up. He did imitations of bird sounds heard in the rural South and in Africa.
What?
And a number of his tricks were compared to miracles from the Bible. So
what?
He used to do this one. Yeah, well, they were like, it's like in the Bible. And he's like, sure. So they're just like, he's magical. So he did this rope escape trick that he used to do.
Oh, wow.
And it used like methods. He was like, this is part of his performance. He was like, these are the methods that the Africans used to escape the slave traders.
Oh my God.
And he would let audience members tie him up so he could demonstrate how if the slave traders tried to take any of my people captive, we would release ourselves using our secret knowledge.
I love this. Okay.
So he would,
I like that twist.
Yes.
See, that's where he's coming in, talking with his Pan-Africa concepts. That's good.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so he also claimed that he was immortal and that he was directly descended from Moses.
Okay.
Every time you're like, yeah, Black Herman, he comes in.
And I'm like,
and does something
whoa,
else. So, but he did say he suggested that blacks could elude the Klansmen and their descendants by escaping the limitations of mortality and simply outliving them. So that was like he would give he would also sell coins that told people that this would prevent like deflect racism and like Klans people from getting you.
There's the fraud.
But here's the thing. In some ways, like I could see it being so empowering and uplifting because, like, those are crazy ass times when, like, the things that like the people have to worry about in the back of their head are like Klans people. And so, if that little talisman gives you a little bit more of strength and hope and guidance, and he was able to provide that, you know,
I'm not
and,
mad
like,
at that.
Hope and upliftingness, you know. So I do,
But still,
so like I guess. He did capitalize on his audience superstitions. He would get his brother Andrew Rucker and his assistant Washington Reeves.
Wow.
They would dress as Confederates in the audience. I don't understand.
But they were black.
Both articles. I know.
Okay.
But then they would jump up and they'd be like, possessed by a demon. And Black Herman would cast out the demon through his magic. How, you might ask? It was usually represented... How to get the demon out? Well... It was represented by a small snake or lizard, which was released into the crowd to create like pandemonium.
Because
they're like,
happening?
Ah, demon! So then he would give that man some special tonic, which of course was for sale after the show.
Yeah.
Okay, Diddy.
Yeah, I know.
Being that mobile.
Still selling bat snake oil. He did not ever give it up.
You know what? It's one of those first jobs. You know, you can take the magician out of the snake oil, but you can't take the snake oil out of the magician.
Man,
like, you still gotta play.
Wow.
Yes. He also offered like a private psychic reading to anybody to uncover their problems. And then those were also available to any audience member who wanted to pay for it, of course.
He's a hustler. Also, he's a definition of a hustler.
Harmon is the definition of a hustler.
Oh my God.
He also had Madame Deborah Sapphire.
Oh.
It's either Deborah or Deborah, but I like Deborah.
It's probably a black lady, Sapphira. So it's Deborah.
So she was a medium, and she would use her spiritual medium tricks. Herman would be able to obtain information secretly about audience members, and then he'd reveal them during his show as proof of his powers.
Oh, man, like, this guy is good.
Well, he also was arrested several times for fortune telling, which I guess was illegal at the time. But he used this to his advantage because it proclaimed that he proof of the oppression of African Americans in society, and that his power was so strong that no jail could hold him.
Ooh,
you know,
I like this twist. It's a good twist.
Okay, so nearing towards so he had a signature trick called Bury It Alive, and so. At first, he would hypnotize a woman and bury her 6 feet under for almost like 6 hours as like a publicity stunt.
So he would almost kill some lady.
But then he would get on the act. So then he would bury himself. And a few days before the performance, he would sell tickets and people would come to the plot. It was called Black Herman's Private Graveyard. And there'd be a theater nearby. And then in full view of his audience, he would slow his pulse by applying pressure under his arm.
Oh.
And then he would be proclaimed dead by a local doctor, someone in on the secret.
Obviously.
And
this man so is they could dead. Then
oh my God. So people could view his lifeless body and they'd even check his pulse and there'd be nothing there.
Oh, that's crazy.
And so,
okay.
Yeah, because he had slowed his pulse down. And so then the audience would see Black Herman's body placed in a coffin. And then as the coffin was being lowered to the ground, he would slip out unnoticed.
Oh, smart. Okay, good. Yeah.
So. And then for days, sometimes even weeks, people would go to pay to look at the grave. And I mean, cha-ching, because he's making money while he's
get
like
those
off.
Points.
And again, this is before people have nothing else to do. They're Black Herman killed himself.
Let's go
look at that plot. Check it out. So this is building suspense of like what's going on with Black Herman. He died doing a trick. And then.
Yeah.
When time was up, the coffin would be exhumed and it'd be great drama and fanfare. And out would walk Black Herman. And then he would then lead the audience to the theater that was right nearby.
Stop
and he performed the rest of the show.
No!
Ta-da! And of course, they probably had to pay to get into the
next
show.
That is the best commercial ever for a show. He's like, well, now that that's done, come on.
See, my next show, you're like, oh, hell yeah. Okay, I'm coming on in.
Hook, line, and sinker. Count me in.
Oh, my God.
I mean, my family's from New York. They probably went to some of these shows.
I bet, ask around, someone went to a Black Herman show. So even better, so remember he'd be like dead, quote unquote, for like days, sometimes even like weeks. So while he was doing that, he then would travel to another town to set up the same trick and then return
smart.
In time to slip back into the coffin for the amazing revival.
That is so
fucking smart.
He's
just making
money,
setting up shows,
oh
isn't it?
God.
Oh my God.
Meanwhile, he's just like letting people come to his empty ass hole in the ground.
Yep. Yes, absolutely. So he also wrote a book, if you want to check it out. It's called Secrets of Magic, Mystery, and Legendary Man. And
okay.
Yeah, so that he wrote that. He calls himself a doctor and professor because he knows so much.
Sure,
so,
I'll do that too.
Let's get to his untimely end.
Oh, how did he die?
So his death. Or did he?
Oh, stop it. By now, he's definitely dead.
So here's the thing. So he died in Louisville, Kentucky after collapsing on stage as a result of a heart attack.
Oh.
Yeah, so he's on stage. It's a heart attack. But get this, Aneke, everyone just assumed it was part of the
act. I mean, you bury yourself enough times.
I love that. No longer is it the boy that cried wolf. It's like, you bury yourself enough times,
and
we're just
going to
be
like,
okay, Herman. So when he died, Aneke, they just stayed in the theater and they didn't leave.
What?
So, yes, they're like, this is part of the act. So think Jada Pinkett in Scream 2, but like less stabby.
Stop
like we're just
it.
Like, wow. He's really selling it. The man had a heart attack. We were just looking at it.
This is
and
crazy.
People like he was. Yes. And so then they like brought him to like the morgue and people follow to the funeral parlor because they're like not buying it.
Oh my God.
So he was declared dead. The audience were not buying it, but they were just like, oh, I bet this is one of his tricks. Okay,
like,
well,
sure,
we'll see
sure,
about
sure.
his next show. Oh, wait, when can I buy tickets? Ooh, is it next week? I'm going to be out of town. Ooh, I hate to miss
this
it. You know,
bad.
That's what they're thinking.
This is so bad.
So they follow, they go all the way back to the funeral part. They think it's part of the act. And then finally, his assistant, Washington Reeves, decided to charge a diamond mission to view Black Herman's corpse because that's the game. That's
making
the industry.
Making coins in death.
Because that's what, like, that's totally the industry, right?
Oh my
so
God.
Then several thousand people took advantage of the chance. He was famous like, to see Rucker for the last time. They'd even poke him with a pin to see if he was really dead.
Wow. So people are poking dead bodies at this point now.
That's where he's got people. That's where he's got people.
Oh, my God.
He was buried in the Woodlawn Cemetery here in New
oh,
York.
Cool.
And little prologue, a number of other African-American magicians subsequently performed as Black Herman,
oh.
including his assistant, Washington Reeves, who billed himself as the original Black Herman.
Wait.
This movie is like
the
Black
original.
Yes, I know.
Oh my God. Yeah. This is amazing. What the hell?
Such a wild story. So my roommate had just told me about that last night, and my roommate wants to do a show. Like my dream role is to be
you
Black
gotta
Herman
be
in the
Black
theatrical
Herman.
Production.
That's like I feel like it would be perfect.
Yes, because no one knows. Because like I would love to play like a historical character, but like a person. But you know what Martin Luther King looks like.
Yeah.
You know what Malcolm X or James Baldwin. You know,
yeah.
But Black Herman.
I mean,
oh, you
nobody
know.
Knows who Black
yeah.
Herman is, and it's like a perfect story. It's like the whole like you get. The whole coming of age where he's like an apprentice
yeah.
and then you get
yes.
him doing his own mogul shit. You got a jail. He
yes.
goes to jail sometimes.
Yeah, he goes to jail.
You got him traveling
yes.
around. You got the Harlem
yes.
Renaissance. You got the Pan-African movement. And then you got a false death where everybody's like thinking he's not dead and it's weird. And then and then it's full circle. His apprentice takes on the name after that. Like,
yes. That's how shady the business is. And like, it works so well as just like a period comedy
oh my God.
Sort of,
yes.
you know, like it's like a period historical comedy because it's such up and down because they're like, yeah, Black Herman. Oh, Black Herman.
I know
what
this
you-
is
you know,
wild.
Like-
why has it,
wild.
This needs to be created because Black Herman is a fucking story. This is nuts.
Well, funny you should mention, so this is what's so interesting. So Black Herman had said, like, remember, he's like, I'll never die,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I think he wrote in his book that he would come back, like, every 7 years. And there was a famous magician, Sun Ra, who then
oh, yeah.
went by Herman, Sonny Blount. They were named for Black Herman.
Oh.
Yeah, and then later, Black Herman made an appearance in a neo-hoodoo detective sidekick novel, an Ishmael Reed's 1972 novel, Mumbo Jumbo.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I mean, could it be, and the fact that now I'm talking about
he's
Black Herman,
still living
maybe like,
through.
He was right. He said, I'm going to live forever,
yeah.
and here we are,
so
like
true.
Somehow, through his weak-ass magic.
Stop it.
I mean, you just reached us. I mean, you just reached us, Black Herman. Fast forward three years from now, you know we're going to see a trailer for Black Herman movie because
to.
We always, this every time you and I talk about something on the podcast, it gets, yeah.
I
so,
am looking up
which
pictures.
Means
his
Kitty
fucking,
Man might become
okay.
a thing.
All right. I am looking
but you
up.
You see pictures of Black Herman?
Not pictures. Well, I see pictures of him, which are like grainy, old timey pictures. But the best is his advertisement. He looks
Ooh,
fucking
yeah,
baller.
Yeah.
It's like him
He's
wearing
dope.
Like a coat with like a rod
yes.
that says power on. It's like a cartoon of him. and his foot on top of some books. This is he's baller. Some of them have like a dollar sign right next to his head. He is
so fucking dope. Like, I feel like if I was an up and coming rapper, I'd name myself Black Hermit, and I would do like a lot of magic in my shows. Like, that's what I would do. He also, I believe, came from money. I believe. So he was.
I mean, it takes money to get away with this kind of crazy shit. Can you imagine
to be able to be like, I'm gonna be a magician? Like, you gotta come from some money.
You can barely do that now. Like.
Yeah, you've got to be a you've got to be like Denzel Washington's daughter to be able to like, I'm gonna do magic.
I know, exactly. Okay. Oh man, this is like so cool. Oh man.
Well, there it is, to inaugurate our 200th episode of Black Magic, the father, the self-proclaimed father of Black Magic.
Wow.
Black Hermit.
Wow, James, thank you so much for this.
Hi, I'm Dave.
Hi, I'm Graham.
And we're two house DJs who have been trapped inside our drum machine.
We love it here, and we'd love if you stopped by and visited us every week on Stop Podcasting Yourself
here on MaximumFun.org.
We're just a couple of doofuses from Canada.
And listen to our show or perish. Stop Podcasting Yourself
on MaximumFun.org.
It is 200th episode.
Yes.
200 episodes.
200 episodes. And with 200 episodes, I have an announcement, James.
I'm pregnant.
Whoa! Through the medical...
Is that your announcement?
Medical magic.
Yeah, I took one of Black Herman's elixirs. I went by his house. I found something old and I drank it. It was a pregnancy elixir.
Oh,
and I should probably go to the doctor.
Well, you know, I wish you well. But also...
Well, thank you.
Sad news, everybody. This is the announcement. This is not a forever goodbye, but I am taking a... I'm leaving the show.
She's leaving. She's out. She's got a... And this isn't one of Black
Don't
Herman's
tricks.
Don't
poke me with no pins.
She's gone. But it's because you've got so many wonderful things going on.
Yeah, I just got a lot
it's
on
a
my
new
plate.
Chapter, new
yes,
year, new year.
Yes, yeah. It is. And you know what? We have 200 amazing episodes that I've done, me and James. It's been a fucking miracle, amazing, wonderful gift that has been like given to me. Just on a lark, we decided to do this. And look where it's
gone. June 15th, 2015 was our first episode.
That's wild.
And oddly enough, right around the time of Juneteenth, and we didn't even realize.
I know. It's kismet, you know?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So, you know.
And to be able to, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, just basically, I just feel like so blessed to be like able to do this. And like not a lot of podcasts make it to 200. And I mean, Minority Corner is going to keep going. James, you are going to hold that torch and you're going to. Take this podcast to new beautiful endeavors, and I'm so excited to see where it goes. It's goodbye, but it's not like I'm dead. I will hopefully be popping back in and out if James will let me.
The door is always open. You are always a presence here. You're part of the Minority Corner family.
Aww.
I look at Minority Corner as an ever-growing sort of Justice League rotation of amazing Black lady queer people.
Yes,
and
I love it.
That's how I look at it. Can I ask you some questions? Exit interview.
Okay.
how have you grown through the show?
Oh, so much.
What do you how has the show affected your life, or has it grown or shaped
you?
Well,
first and foremost, every time we do a corner, it's like just I mean, 2 seconds ago, I had no fucking clue who Black Herman was. Like, I have learned so much by doing this podcast on my corners, on your corners. I feel like we're constantly educating each other, having so much fun. I have found my own activism through this corner or through this podcast by becoming a Black maternal, or yeah, podcast, a Black maternal mortality advocate,
activist.
Yeah. So, like, I discovered that through doing the podcast. I've learned how to be a podcaster, which is amazing. I feel like Yeah. Even though we had were close before this, we started doing this podcast, like we were like super close before, but I feel like this has even enriched and deepened our relationship further. So like I can't even imagine. I feel like I can legitimately call myself a podcaster by doing this with you.
Yeah, remember we went to the Chicago Podcasting Festival 2 years ago. We were invited to participate there. Like, I was thinking about just the wild adventures that we've gone on.
Oh, my God.
And, two, it's like, for myself, like, you've been the most consistent person in my life for, like, the past 4 years. Aww. When we first started this podcast, I lived in San Francisco. Yep. I have traveled the world. I've moved to New York. Yes. I fell in love. I fell out of love.
It happens.
I did it again. My roommate died. I went
wild.
I did Marvel. And, like, so many things sort of happened, and you were such a consistent fixture in my life.
Hell
and
yeah.
I don't think that you realize how important this was. Like, I don't even think that you'll understand like what this meant for me, especially transitioning through all the things that I've had of being able to have that sort of consistent person to be able to chat with and connect with. And that this all started us just giggling around a pool saying, let's do a podcast.
I know, right? And look where we are.
And look where we are now. Are there any corners or moments that stick out to your like your favorite moments or favorite corners or biggest things? I know the female maternity thing was for you.
Huge.
But are there moments
so
or
many.
Giggles or
so
facts?
Many.
Okay, just throw them at. Throw
like,
them. Throw
just
them.
Like off the top of my head from the very beginning when we talked about that woman giving birth in the woods. That was wild.
Oh my God. I forgot about that one.
Having now given birth, that story is even wilder. That was
please
nuts.
Go back to the early episodes. It's something about bees.
It's nuts.
Oh God,
it's a mess.
I forgot an echo.
That episode was wild.
Okay.
Learning Jesus. About who's fucking who had the fucking death.
Greta
yes,
Garbo.
Yes, that story. That was wild.
Greta Garbo. Greta Garbo of like all the things. It was someone's head was missing. This guy was like this famous film director. And all these things that happened with Greta Garbo's head. Episode 6. I wrote it down. Episode 6. It's wild.
So
it was an early Quizlet where you just knew early on the Quizlets are going to be crazy.
Yes. What else? So many are stupid arguments, which I still laugh about, like arguing over Tesla, arguing over Star Wars. Like what?
We got into heated debates, like, which I love that happened. And no, it's so funny because I remember like our first fight was the Tesla episode 4. And we had been drinking wine and realized, okay, we're not going to drink and do this show anymore. And we built it as like James and I could get into a fight and everybody else was
like
what are you talking
I know,
about?
It didn't even sound like a fight, but we were pissed.
The eyes were being back and forth over Tesla.
Which is so dumb.
It's
oh
so
my God,
dumb.
There's so many, like Queen Candace, I can't even begin to go over how much we giggled over Queen Candace. I love
because we were talking about these other amazing, wonderful queens and Queen Candace.
I know, Queen Khalifa is amazing. I fucking love hearing about Queen Khalifa. Just
Episode 89 and 90.
Yeah, the fucking Tulsa race massacre has always been one of my most, like, I feel very proud of that corner that I did. And then also I feel extra proud that it is now in the news again because of Watchmen series featuring it. I just shared that on Twitter, so you can link that.
Yes.
So that's always fun. I love how we tend to be ahead of the curve. Like with Hidden Figures, we talked about the women who worked for NASA and the moon launch way before Hidden Figures came out.
There was another thing too that recently we talked about, and then there's like a movie that's coming out about it. It happens so much I can't keep track.
We're just soothsayers. Call us Black Herman.
Ooh. Also, I think this was, I'm pretty sure this was one of your corners. I just always loved just like your corners.
Aww,
like, I learned so much. It was you that did the Texas Rangers.
Yes,
Texas Rangers.
Yeah, I did the Texas Rangers.
Ugh, that was a great episode because it just reminded me of, again, these Mexican Americans had been slaughtered by early gentrifiers. Now there's a baseball team about them.
Right?
Like, that was crazy.
Exactly. Like, why are we celebrating like massacre people? Like, it's crazy.
One of our big biggest episodes, I think, that we got the most. We were even credited on another show for, I don't know, I was listening to it. It was episode 50 about why your camera's racist.
Oh, yeah. That was really good. Talking, like, I've seen it on other, like, little shorts, like Vox and stuff, but we talked, you brought, I think this was your corner where we talked about
it. I was fresh off of spring, I went to Palm Springs and I came back with information.
It was fucking fascinating.
About why your camera's
racist. Kodak and their, like, color spectrum, basing it off of that white lady.
With that, with her pearls and her pillows.
Yes. Just so many good, like, I mean, let's face it. Like, I went through, you talked about all the different things that you did where it's like, I got married. I had a baby. I changed jobs multiple times. Like,
oh my God. Yes.
Like,
yeah.
All this life adventure.
Wedding and neck game.
Yeah. Remember? You came to the wedding. We had the most epic dance off that we talked about, too.
Epic dance off that. Oh, yes, absolutely. Oh, also one of my favorite just silly giggles that we used to have too. When we realized that Goldilocks was a story about white lady privilege.
Just busting into those bears' home. How dare she?
Take. Yes. I also enjoyed just, oh, remember Side Eye Your Heroes was.
Oh, yeah, we used to do that all the time. Yes.
So
good.
One of my favorites was the history of queer fabulousness, episode 23. I loved it because it was, for one, the army of guys who fucking fight with each other, but also just like understanding that the history that queer is, a lot of times it seems like, oh, queers are new, but it's we've been around since forever.
Yes.
So
it was like the sexy army where they would like have sex to warm up or whatever, right? Didn't you like talk about that too?
Yeah. Because if you're fucking your partner and you're fighting with them, you're going to do everything you possibly can to make sure that they don't die, right? Like, if you're fucking everybody you're fighting with, you're like, oh, yeah, we're all going to survive. Also, I remember when you were giving the rundown of the directors of Queen Sugar.
Oh, yeah. That was fun because it's all women that were directing Queen Sugar.
And off of, like, two clues, I guess that one of the directors voiced Elisa Maza in the show Gargoyles.
That blew your mind. That killed me because I couldn't even.
Oh, Elisa Maza?
I know, which is wild. That was bizarre. That was one of your moments where you like psyched me out. That was, I'm still tripped up over how like tapped in you are to Gargoyles.
I would still watch it to this day. Also, too, just thinking about how different the world was when we first started the podcast, like how much has changed in four years. Obama was president.
Yep.
And we were so inspired to do this podcast because, I mean, I'll never forget when I just was so torn about Eric Garner.
Right.
Michael Brown.
Yes.
I just didn't understand. And I called you and I was crying. And that's what helped really push us to do this podcast because I feel like at the time there weren't a lot of Black queer voices
there.
And it's interesting because now there really is. I feel like, you know, we're not the most prominent one, but I feel like
we're a part of
this moment.
We are. We're definitely a part of it. And it's like, it's been such an amazing time to kind of like watch all these other podcasts kind of pop up that like share like an intersection with us, but still we like remained our own voice, which I thought was super special. Like, we have our own niche, which is like amazing. And I will never forget when you did the purple carpet for Black Panther, which I think is monumental.
I think that's as good as it gets for me. I don't know.
It's gonna get better. Come on, James.
Oh, which is also so wild because you texted me about this, but so I interviewed Ruth Carter, who's the costume designer for Black Panther, and then she's got a thing on Netflix right now.
Oh yeah, it's this TV show called Abstract, where they highlight a designer of different art design, spatial design, clothing design,
from like a different medium. Yeah.
Yeah. And they dedicate a whole episode to her and her whole life, and it's fascinating. I highly suggest watching it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, we got a lot of snaps, too, for our election episodes, too. I'm so glad I had this podcast to help me get through and process the aftermath of the election. I feel like a lot of you were so grateful, too. Episode 55, 56. I feel like we really helped to, you know, process that. And then shortly after, we did our first Kwanzaa special.
Oh my God.
We learned about Kwanzaa on this show.
And we relearn about it every year because it is important.
It is important. And if, you know, I feel like it's the annual Kwanzaa special that doesn't exist, but exists now.
Yeah, I know. It's perfect.
Aneki, what's next for you? What do you do next? What are your next?
I mean,
what do you do next?
I'm doing so much. Well, keep an eye out for me because I'm not going away. One, hopefully I really do plan on dipping back into Minority Corner if James will
guest
let
co-host
me.
Guest co-host spot.
So I
of
will
course,
come.
Guest co-hosting.
I will come back. I'm also hopefully Nice Tan Comedy Troupe is still working on their stuff, and we hope to pick back up in 2020 to record a pilot. Hey. And so keep an eye out for that. I am being a librarian, being a mom, getting myself organized as much as I can. I'm still writing. Follow me on Twitter, Ms. Fitzy. Follow me on Instagram if you want to see what I look like or what my baby looks like, basically.
they can finally follow you on the IG. This is
I
a
guess,
monumental
sure.
moment.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah, just don't be follow creepy.
Her.
Don't be creepy.
Her,
on.
Oh, our listeners are not going to be creepy.
I know.
So that one guy, you know, Black Herman comes up. Get out of here, Black Herman. Go take a bubble bath.
And also, I was thinking about diving into maybe doing some research in libraries, and I don't know what I'll turn it into. I might turn it into like a little side project that I'll do when I have little like nuggets of time. So it might be a podcast. It might be a written article. It might be something. I don't know. I might consult with James to help me out with that too.
Well, you know, Dina Lohan is always here to help her baby girl. Okay. You have no idea. My head just exploded and I just got so excited when you said that. Because I'm like, don't tell me you got a dream because I will be there.
Lift it up.
I literally was just like, oh yeah, anytime you've got something that you want to like, this is great. Like, oh, please. Oh my God. And I guess one of the best writers that I know. I hope you get
so
into
nice
writing
you.
Again. And then I can like reference your article on the podcast. Like, well, Aneke said.
Yes.
Like,
oh my God.
All that stuff. Your book, you need to get it publicized. You come on the show. Your podcast, you need to publicize. You come on the show. Your Nice Tan, you need to.
Yeah.
Promote. Doors
this is
open.
Our baby, so believe me, I'm not going away. This is goodbye, but it's not goodbye forever, y'all.
And that's a promise. Just like Black Herman, Aneke is not gone forever.
Pay me 2 cents, and then come look at my plot, and then I'll come back and lead you to my show.
Well,
oh,
Aneke,
James, this has been amazing. I love you so much.
I love you so much as well. Are we going to come back and do the ending? Or is this the ending?
I don't know. What do you think? It's going long.
Well, let's come back. I know. Let's just come back. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Okay, bye.
It's the end of the road. It's literally, this is it. This is so weird.
I mean, I
got to tell you, I've got coming into this, I had mixed feelings and moments.
I
was like, oh, this
I know.
Is, you know,
it's,
4 years.
I know
it's
sad.
Like senior
it's bittersweet.
Year.
It's bittersweet.
Absolutely, yeah.
But, you know, it's, I think that one, I'm not dead. So
yes, that's the biggest point to know. Not dead. That's
I'm
absolutely.
I'm still your friend, James.
Yes.
And then, and then I really do plan to come back to the show. I'm going to come back and do like a little pop in, pop out, stuff like that.
Yes.
And then also just, you know, keep me, I'm still working away on the side. It's just an end of an era, you know, and it's a beautiful era.
I actually mentioned this in our last, I know we're wrapping up here, but I meant to mention this because I wanted to show the progression of when we started and where we are now. When we had first started, it was, you know, the era of, you know, with Michael Brown and Eric Garner, and like we couldn't get any justice for these things that were happening. Just a few weeks ago, Tatiana Jefferson, who she was shot and killed, 28 years old, Black woman, playing video games with her nephew, shot and killed by this, you know, cop. A tale as old as time, but what's happened is that he was convicted and found guilty
good.
Very swiftly. And I just thought that it's, you don't hear that often. And I think
you really don't.
Sometimes we think, what is all this for? And I think just for me, it was such a bookended moment for us in our journey, because when we started, we couldn't get any sort of justice. It's terrible that it's happening. But now that we're seeing that there's consequences for what these cops are doing, that there's something that's off with their training. When someone had called you because, oh, her front door is open, we're concerned, it was supposed to be like a safety check, and you fire away, you know?
So, exactly. I love that. I mean, I don't love what happened, but I love that he's getting convicted. We're getting justice. It's justice. Necessary. We need it.
And I think
we need
that,
training,
you know,
for police, man. Jeez.
And it happens because I feel like the conversations that we're having here, I'm really grateful for, you know, you and the listeners, and that this podcast and these podcasts like this allow us to have a space to be able to have these conversations, that we're able to put it out there, and people
it's
are
so
being
true.
Educated and informed. And so all of you listeners, and you're all a part of this movement and this change that we've seen that's happened in the last 4 years. When you tune in every day and you listen and you continue the conversations, you continue the research, especially on Black Herman, like, what did he do for his magic tricks? We don't know. So we need you to go out there and
we'll do some more research and figure it out. I'm sure it's out there. I'm sure there's a document that says something. So
something. Yeah.
This is beautiful. And yeah, I just want to also thank all the listeners who have been long time from the very beginning, who picked up in the middle, and some of the new ones. It's just like, thank you guys for being there and lifting us up and tweeting us and sending us emails and joining the Corner Kids Playground and all of that stuff. I really just like want to thank you for that. And, you know, I'm excited for what Minority Corner is going to be. I now get to join your guys' ranks and be a listener.
Yeah. Wow. And yes, especially for the 200th episode, I want to just second everything that you just said. Like, the show doesn't exist without all of you. Otherwise, it's just me and Aneke having a phone call conversation.
It's the truth.
But you all are the third, you know, member, the third, you know, contributing.
The silent listener.
The silent listener. We can't do the show without you. Thank you so much. And a big thank you to Woody, our
editor,
for editing our music, episode 200. And then also a big thanks to Brownout for letting
us
have this song for 200 episodes and not saying nothing about it.
You probably forgot, and that's working to our advantage.
Cha-ching. Yes. And thank you all for listening to Minority Corner.
Because together... We're the majority.
I forgot we said it at the same time. Bye, Aneke. We miss you. I love you.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.